This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Ready for today's game with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
A complete look around the NFL and especially our Falcons.
Let's go out there and compete. Let's focus in on what our job is and do our job.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
On the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick.
Good morning. Welcome in. Wade Ford Tailgate Show here with you on Sunday morning, getting you ready for the Falcons and the Jets just about 4 hours from right now. We'll be with you for the next two before the Falcons Radio Network takes over. Coming to you from under center this week, Joe.
How about that? No pistol formation. How about that?
No shotgun for us. We are right here to you. How are you?
Good morning. It's great to be doing a show with Ned Flanders this morning. Andy's dressed in his Sunday best. He's going to church after this, living right, and hopefully that helps the Falcons today. But it feels like a new look Falcons team.
Yeah, that's odd. It's an odd feeling. I've come here from church before, which
is fine.
I thought
he had to go to court personally, but then it's like Sunday. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it does feel a little bit like that as well. but I'm going to put a jacket on, like a suit coat, in here and like get it wrinkled or whatever.
To get a wrinkle. Yeah, you don't want to get a wrinkle. You don't want to show us up even more. Me and Noel are here bundled up. It's like a cold, wet Sunday.
So I put a sweater on. So I've got
a Christmas sweater.
I've got a cardigan sweater with a tie. And some khakis. And I do. I look like either Ned Flanders.
Is this the nicest you've ever been dressed up, you think, in the studio?
In the studio, 100%.
Yeah.
Without question. I was thinking about this. I've only ever done a radio show with a tie on before twice. And it was when I was doing the Hawks radio network on opening night, when I'd be filling in for Conti doing Hawks games, because Steve Holman used to wear a suit and tie.
Mm.
Like for a lot of games, especially the opening game of the season, he would often wear a suit and tie. One of the many things that COVID changed is people just don't dress like that anymore.
Yeah.
Steve still looks nice. They'll have like a polo on and like some whatever, but like there's never a suit and tie Hawks game anymore. And I would do that because he was doing it, and I don't know what I was doing. I was just trying to play along with the legend. A couple times there, and now again. So here we are.
I've worn a tie in this studio one time. And it was when I came to interview with Mike Conti and the old program manager, Terry Fox. I remember walking in and everybody like giving me these looks.
Who's this guy?
And it didn't take me long to understand why I was getting looks for wearing a tie, because this is, if you know sports radio, it's the last place you expect to see someone in a tie.
Which is what always makes me laugh. We took photos for the website one time. Right?
Right, right.
And it was years ago. And it was before me and Randy were even together. It was before either of us were even full time, I don't think. So they were like, hey, dress nice. We're going to take headshots for the website. And this was like 9 years ago. So we did. And the photo that they still use, it's me and Randy like Photoshopped next to each other. We have suits on and ties. I went to like a barbershop that I had never gone to before that Jarvis Davis recommended. I looked like a Latin pop star. The whole thing was like lined up, my beard and my hair. Like I looked like living La Vida Loca. Randy looked like he'd been out the previous three nights before just on a bender. Carl and Mike look like mob bosses in their pictures because they're like pinned on. I was like, no one's worn a suit since then. But that so one true. Day we all had suits on and took headshots.
I always joke, you know, there's that's to dress for the – don't dress for the job you want. Well, if you want a job in sports radio, you got pajamas and ratty T-shirts.
No, literally, Hugh Douglas would wear pajamas
in here.
Maybe
limited showers.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Like he would wear pajama pants to work with a hoodie and like a ball cap.
Yeah, you dress like you're like, you know – a line cook, kind of like that's kind of the vibe we have going on in the radio studio.
Yeah,
that's
but
our
anyway,
lifestyle.
I'm dressed like Mr. Rogers today, so if it's extra wholesome from this side of the room, you'll know why. Hey, but it's easier to be a little bit more positive this week because the Falcons got a win last week. We're not talking about five consecutive losses or four or three like we were the previous weeks. We're talking about the potential of a winning streak if they can beat the New York Jets today, which they should be able to do. The Jets are really bad. As were the Saints. Like that was one of my main takeaways from that game. It's like, I'm glad the Falcons won. And obviously we'll get into the Kirk Cousins playing and the being under center and the rage that's inspired in the fan base. And, I get it. Man, they suck. The Saints are so bad. Like that's the worst team I've seen all year in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I mean, you expect, especially if you're a Falcons fan, you have the experience to go down to New Orleans and really get a test.
Yeah.
And it really didn't feel like that. It felt like the Falcons were actually kind of giving away opportunities.
Totally.
And maybe that was
that
going to thing that you, that was going to thing that comes back and bite you. But even that, I mean, even the fact that the Falcons only had three offensive plays in the third quarter and they still win that game by 14 points. Of course, at that point, it was kind of in the balance still until Kirk Cousins hit that Darnell Mooney deep shot. But I want to say, like, the win was obviously good to see and, you know, listen, like the Falcons are not in a tanking situation, really. No. When you don't have a first round pick, like you want to see this team get its feet under them and get some sort of momentum, whether or not it's going to, you know, relate to any success that ultimately happens this season for them. But I thought it was just a relief or gratifying to see them just kind of look like a normal offense. Yeah. So you talk about the under center stuff, but I really do feel like that was kind of part of the nice feeling that we had afterwards was seeing that they could operate in that kind of manner. And clearly it worked out for them and Kirk Cousins especially.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that one of the main questions we had going into the game, we talked about it on the Wade Ford tailgate show last weekend. And me and Randy talked about it on Thursday and Friday leading into the game against the Saints was I didn't even know if Kirk Cousins could still be a professional quarterback.
Yeah, I know.
Like the last couple times we had seen him play, didn't look like it.
Yeah.
Obviously against the Dolphins earlier this year. And then
it was terrible against the Dolphins. I mean, that was abominable.
Oh,
game.
It was. He was horrible in that game. And then at the end of it, you know, we were in Vegas last year for his final start against the Raiders. And that was one of the worst like performances in a win that you'll ever see.
Hilarious that you were out there for that game.
Yes, right? Of all the games to go to, we got to go to that one. Hey, Vegas was still Vegas.
Where he lost his job as the starting quarterback after they won.
I know. They lost all those games in a row where he played awful.
Yeah.
And then he played the worst, but they won, and then they took the job from him. Because, remember, the reason they wouldn't take it from him is because he was giving him the best chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
And then they took it from him after they won. So what are we actually doing? Anyway, we don't need to relitigate that situation. We've been through
just
that.
Just goes to show how low the lows were with Kirk Cousins.
Totally.
And then
but
that's why.
But the point was, I didn't, who knew? Like, how could
right,
you know
right.
Whether or not he could actually still do it? He can. Now, I don't know that, you know. I don't know that he's ever going to be the guy that he was in Minnesota a number of years ago when they were going 14-3 and all that. But at the very least, you know that he can play like a legitimate professional game at the quarterback position. It helps who they played against for sure. And they play against another bad team this week, and that's fine. But he needs to have the same type of performance in order for them to win.
Yeah, and it like – let's be honest, like last week, it was kind of like a game management type of situation from him. But he did the job. Like he did what was expected of him. But again, I really liked what this offense looked like with him. I'll give credit to the coaching staff because I asked Raheem Morris heading into the Saints game, you know, what's going to be different about Kirk Cousins this week than what we've seen him previously, especially when, you know, that Miami game is kind of a nice comparison because also in that game they did not have Drake London, which they did not have against the Saints either. And you know, and he
won't today.
Yeah, and they won't have him today. But Raheem said, you know, that it's a different situation because this time against the Saints, we go into the week, into our game planning, knowing that he's going to be the quarterback, where that was not the case against the Dolphins. And that very much played out in the way that the offense looked, with him being under center as much as he was, with them going to the play action as much as they did. It felt like toward the end of the game, like every time they passed the ball, it was play action. And I thought that the play action actually helped the offensive line protect him. I thought that it kind of put the Saints a little bit on their heels and not being able to kind of pin their ears back and make a beeline for Kirk Cousins, because that's what I was worried about. Well, I felt like what we've seen down that second half of last year and then in some of the opportunities he's had to play this year is teams just really bringing the pressure, both against the receivers on the outside, getting in their face, not letting them get clean releases, and then really trying to, you know, get in Kirk Cousins' face. And I thought that the play-action game helped relieve some of that. They weren't able to just kind of come after him as aggressively as they had been previously. And so hopefully, you know, we see more effectiveness to that extent today.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do today, because I do feel like there's been moments this year where, even with Penix at quarterback, where there was a game plan that was effective, whether it was early in the year where they went to the 12 personnel a little bit more and got the run game really going and like, okay, great. Seems like they found something. And then the next week, maybe they didn't adjust off of it or adapt it at all. And the other team seemed to have sort of figured it out. I'm interested to see if there's some, you know, some tweaks to what they did last week in the offensive operation this week, just to keep the Jets on their heels a bit, because, and we've seen these one-off kind of good game plan performances from the offense and then followed by not great a couple weeks after that.
Right.
You know, I liked what we saw last week for sure. And especially as the game went on, I think Kirk kind of took a quarter or so to get his feet under him. I think the first three drives, the teams combined for -1 yards. It was a pretty tough start. It was like, oh God, this is what this game's going to be. but then, you know, they got their footing and were getting in the end zone and kept that that red zone streak alive and all that. I'm interested to see, because the Jets now, I mean, they have the tape of what the Falcons did last week. They're going to be ready for that game plan.
Mm-hmm.
How can they sort of evolve from what worked last week to make it work this week, too?
Yeah, and you have to respect your opponent. You know, like, even though it is, you know, the Jets, they're obviously not good and by NFL standards, and they've sold off a bunch of their players in order to try to, you know, do a rebuild. You can't, in this league, you just cannot let your guard down. You have to go into every single game bringing your best, and especially if you're the Falcons. I mean, it's not like the Falcons are some great team that is able to kind of like, you know, sleepwalk through a game and still come out on the winning side of it. So I thought that was actually a good thing to see, though, from last week. On top of just like, you know, the gratification of seeing the Falcons win a football game, it was good to see the level of professionalism coming off of such a demoralizing loss. I mean, let's face it, to blow the lead that they had against the Panthers at home, lose that game in overtime. You also obviously lose your quarterback. That can cause some turmoil just with the team dynamics and everything. To come out and just put forward a professional performance in New Orleans was good to see, and they're going to need to be able to repeat that. And that's been the biggest question for this Falcons team is, can you go from strength to strength? Can you like repeat the performance? Can you go do it again? Prove it that you can go do it again. That's what they got
to
do today.
Should be able to against the Jets. Hopefully they can. As the show goes on, we'll talk a bit more about what the Jets have out there. Like Joe mentioned, they traded off some of their biggest names on defense. They're dealing with injuries to some of their biggest names on offense. They're on to their backup quarterback. Like, they do have a really good running back, though.
Yeah, they do. Kind of they're going to try to run the ball, for sure. And that's the Falcons' vulnerability.
Exactly. Kind of the kryptonite that the Falcons have faced this year from a run game standpoint. They certainly have that. Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Every single Sunday or Monday or Thursday before the Falcons play. We'll lead you into the Falcons Radio Network broadcast starting at 11 o'clock. We'll take a break here and come back on the other side and keep getting you ready for the Falcons and the Jets on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Go Falcons!
Back to Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick and the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show brought to you by Bear and Burton's W Sauce. We can't control the score, but you can still bring home the W. W Sauce is your ticket to next level flavors on game day. Pick up a bottle and bring home the W. Andy Bunker, Smoking Joe Patrick here with you on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show until 11 o'clock this morning, getting you ready for the Falcons and the Jets. East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Yeah, I think that's right.
MetLife Stadium.
Yeah. The Meadowlands.
Yeah, not actually New York. But anyway, close. They'll be taking on the Jets this afternoon.
New Jersey Jets.
Just after one. They should be called that, actually. That would be a lot
kind of rolls off the tongue, honestly, now that I say it.
Doesn't it feel more fitting? No offense to New Jersey if there's people out there listening, but like, you know.
Yeah, they're not New York caliber yet. New York. I mean, especially now after what they've done.
But anyway, that's who the Falcons are taking on today. Hopefully they can make it two in a row. I know that the Jets have had their share of issues and trades, and coach won't tell us who's playing quarterback, and he's mad at the media, and it's been a circus up there, not just this year, but for years. So good. A good team to be facing. With a chance to make it two in a row.
Sounds like it will be Tyrod Taylor, though, today going for the Jets. Interesting, you know, just going away from Justin Fields. And I don't know if that's better or worse for the Falcons. I don't know if you have an opinion on this, but I remember looking at...
I have a strong opinion on it.
Okay, which I'm assuming you think it's a good news?
No, you go ahead. I'll get into it. I have a lot of opinions on both of those guys.
Well, Justin Fields, I was looking at his numbers, and I probably should have looked at them before this show started, but I was looking at them, I think, last year, and... He averages about one fumble per game that he's played in the NFL this year. A turnover machine. And not necessarily, you think of quarterbacks turning the ball over, you think of interceptions, it's the ball handling.
Similar to Daniel Jones leading into this year when he was with the Giants, he would fumble every game. The Falcons got him to fumble three times.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
they only fell on one of them. But yeah, no, Daniel Jones, same thing. And they're running quarterbacks a little bit, so maybe that's a part of it. No, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm looking at it pessimistically either way. But I really like both of those quarterbacks. I probably need to sort of come to reality, come to grips with reality when it comes to Justin Fields. But I'm still kind of like, I don't know, who knows, in the right situation. But I do know that with the Bears a couple of years ago, he had one of his best performances ever.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It was ridiculous. He was throwing dots all over the Falcons, so, like in the snow, too.
Obviously,
it was incredible.
That would have happened again.
Yeah, exactly.
But I also have long said that Tyrod Taylor is the type of backup quarterback that's going to get you one. Every year,
right.
He beats somebody that he's not supposed to beat because he's fine. He's a fine backup quarterback, professional backup quarterback and all. I just really like him from the Virginia Tech days and all that. But, he hadn't gotten him one yet, though. So, I don't know. I don't know which one I would prefer today. Because I know Justin Fields would go off against his hometown team. Tyrod Taylor always gets you one, and he hasn't done it yet.
Justin Fields just feels like higher variance. You know, like sure, you're going to have lower lows and higher highs.
Yeah.
And if you get one of those days where he's on it, then you're kind of screwed. So, I think maybe for the Falcons, you would rather have an even-keel quarterback to go against, kind of knowing what else is on that roster, which is not a whole lot. They won't have Garrett Wilson. They're just so beleaguered. You mentioned it earlier in the last segment that, they're going to try to run the football. You know, that's basically what they have, is a stable of backs that they can go to. And it's also what the Falcons struggle with. I was going to say, if this defense struggles against anything, which they do. I mean, they have their vulnerabilities, but this is a good Falcons defense at this point. I think we need to think about this Falcons team as kind of being a defensive-oriented football team.
It's a good Falcons defense, especially when they have a couple of pieces that they will have today.
Yeah.
Like, they're 4-2 in games where Divine Diablo starts and plays the whole game. That's all their wins.
Yeah.
He got hurt in the first quarter, maybe early second quarter, but in the first half, he only played nine snaps against the 49ers, and that game was close anyway. Mm-hmm. It probably goes differently in the second half if he's out there, because Christian McCaffrey was such a difference
right
in that game.
Right up the middle, too. Yeah.
And then he misses four games. They lose all of them, and then he comes back, and immediately they win and only give up 10 against the Saints. Like, the defense before Divine Diablo got hurt was, statistically, in a few categories, in the top 10 in the NFL, top 5 in some categories. And then the same thing with Jalen Walker. I mean, when Jalen Walker missed those couple of games, now Divine Diablo also missed those games, which is just a really bad combination, a really bad recipe. But you get those guys out there, man, I'm with you. It's a good defense, and they'll both be out there today.
Jalen Walker is the one that has really pleasantly surprised me this year. And it's like, he was the higher-rated prospect in the draft. He was obviously selected higher than James Pierce Jr. But the way he was described in that draft class was one of kind of not having a position, kind of being this jack-of-all-trades kind of guy. And that's always the kind of thing that worries me. Like, I like a specialist. I like someone who you know exactly what they do really well. You know exactly kind of what the path is going to be for them in the NFL when they get there. And it seemed not to be so clear for Jalen Walker, despite that he was this like very toolsy player. Sure. And I just thought that it would take a little bit longer for maybe him to develop into what he is at the NFL level. But I got to say, like, Jeff Oberg and Nate Oli and, the linebackers coach, Jaquan Smith, have done a great job with him and developing him. I thought that Jeff Oberg kind of laid out a good path of saying that we want him to master being an edge before we do any of this other stuff, which I think has turned out to be the very appropriate approach to take with Jalen Walker. And he's been fantastic. He's been he's been better than I expected as a pass rusher, just able to, bull rush some of these offensive tackles in the NFL and the power, dealing with those power profiles, but also being that three down edge player who can stop the run and just basically do everything you need to, on top of being a guy who's a little bit more versatile from that edge position.
Yeah, versatile is the word you use when you like the guy. Tweener is the word you use when you don't.
Exactly.
And I heard both during the draft process, obviously. It's like jack of all trades. He can do this, that, and the other thing. And then you remember back to guys where you've heard that about, and they get in a situation where, as a rookie, their defensive coordinator kind of asks them to do that, and then they get lost in the fray. It's like, well, let him do the thing he does best first, and as he comes along, he can grow into the other stuff. It's pretty hard to play in the NFL. I like that they made him a specialist. Like, obviously, he can do the other stuff, and I think as he grows in the defense, they'll ask him to do the other stuff. But, specialize, major in, as that's been a big phrase this week with Penix, is Michael doesn't need to major in under center. He just has to be able to do it.
Right.
With Jalen Walker, he's majored in edge. He's majored in being an edge rusher and pass rusher. And it's worked. And I think James Pierce has been really good too. And I know that there's, you know, as the season sort of has gone the way that it has, we're starting to layer the frustrations on top of each other. One of them being that there's no first round draft pick this year. Well, I know you got him. He's out there.
Yeah.
It's working.
Yeah.
That's your first round pick for this year's draft. Would you rather have a guy that you know can do it at the NFL level or an unknown with potentially a new general manager? You know what I mean? Like, I got no problem with the way that they went about that. Their draft class from last year, I know Billy Bowman's out for the rest of the year, which is really disappointing, got hurt late last week. The other three guys are playing awesome.
Yeah, and Xavier Watts, by the way, who they also got in that trade, and I think got really swept under the rug by a lot of the initial reactions to the Falcons making that trade on draft night, and not kind of respecting that third-round pick that they got back, or maybe it was a fourth-round pick, and they traded up. But anyway, I think the return has been fine.
Yeah.
Great. You know, like, I think that if there's a player like James Pierce Jr. in this current draft class coming up that the Falcons, and they had that pick, they'd probably be strongly considering taking that player. So, and the fact that it looks like you've hit on both those players at this point speaks really well to what you have in the future. And that's where I want to, like, talk to you, Andy. Like, I've been really impressed with what the Chicago Bears have done this year with Caleb Williams as the quarterback. Obviously, a quarterback that had all these lofty expectations set upon him. And Ben Johnson comes in as this offensive guru, this play caller, you know, this magnificent play caller type. But what have they been under Ben Johnson? They've taken all the pressure off of Caleb Williams by kind of focusing the identity of the football team elsewhere, building up the offensive lines and defensive line, and just kind of relying on all these other aspects of the team and not kind of placing all that pressure on Caleb Williams. I think that the Falcons, I think we should kind of consider the Falcons as a similar type of football team going forward, where this is a defensive football team that is going to be stout and get after the quarterback and do all those kinds of things. And maybe kind of take the pressure off of Michael Penix Jr. or whoever is the quarterback, you know, next year to start the year, which probably won't be Michael Penix. So that, I think, is kind of a good kind of model to look at as a team of who you can potentially be going forward with these pieces.
I agree. I think the strengths that the Falcons have right now are so clear. And what you've got on defense, and again, like we talked about with Divine Diablo being out there and Jalen Walker and James Pierce developing. I mean, they're top three in the league in sacks this year. I realize that it's a little bit lost because of what the season has been. We've been begging for them to be able to do this for a day. They finally do. And unfortunately, some of the other stuff has crumbled around them, so you don't get to celebrate it as much. But the defense is solid and young. And Bijan Robinson's one of the best running backs in football. That's enough to be a good team. You know what I mean? If you lean into those things, that's enough to be a playoff team. Now, again, I'm not saying this team is going to the playoffs. Obviously, you know, they've dug themselves a giant hole. But if you make running the football and playing hard-nosed defense your identity, pretty tried and true method in the NFL.
It's why you can still be half decent with Kirk Cousins as the quarterback for this team, and I just ask him to kind of manage way through these games, similar to what we were talking about with Caleb Williams, because you have, all these other kind of necessary components that you have to have in order to be a successful NFL team. I know the offense always gets the headlines and the plaudits and the national talking points, but even the Chiefs in recent years have turned, they've invested a lot of resources under that defense and have been a stout defensive football team. The Eagles similarly. So these are teams that maybe are different reliance, have different reliance on their quarterback, but or what they have between Mahomes and Jalen Hurts in that instance. Ultimately, you need to have kind of core competencies on defense and being able to rush the passer in order to be successful in this league.
It just feels a little bit like they got here with a different path, right? And again, we're talking about a team that's 4-7. I'm not trying to be like, run in defense and it'll win you games. Like the Bears have done it, and they're 9-3, and they leaned into it. And a big part of it was because they wanted the helper to come along because he was such a raw talent, very talented, but try to rein him in. Like, so much of what he wanted to do was to break the rhythm of the play and freestyle and win like that, like he was able to do it in college. But the Falcons' philosophy towards getting here, certainly they've drafted, and last year they finally leaned in the first round to fixing the defensive line. I mean, we're talking about a team that drafted a tight end, wide receiver, running back, quarterback, back-to-back-to-back drafts, right? Like, they weren't really trying to lean into a run game and a defense.
Right, you know? And maybe that's why there is kind of all this pressure that's been put upon the quarterback position here, because that was kind of the thing you felt like you needed. And obviously, the quarterback is the most important position on a football team, so it's understandable why you would want a certain level out of that position. But, you felt like you needed a solid quarterback to come in to tie all those pieces together, all those top core, Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, all these guys that you've drafted at the top of drafts. You needed that quarterback to kind of bring them all in harmony and have them singing from the same song sheet. And unfortunately, that hasn't really happened. Yeah, I mean, it hasn't happened consistently enough.
They gave Kirk 100 mil and drafted Penix in the top 10.
Exactly. It's like they put everything into it, and they kind of came up snake eyes there. But, I was just watching highlights that, just got the TVs on here in the studio of seeing the Colts, It's like, how much expectations does the Colts have coming into this year? But they have Jonathan Taylor, and you get a halfway decent play caller with a halfway decent quarterback, and you can scheme them some
good players on defense.
Yeah, and some really hard-nosed good defense players. On defense. Yeah, and a tight end,
At some point over the next hour, maybe, and I know this is the Falcons pregame show, and we're talking NFL football and all that, but I think everybody's
Football guys.
We're football guys. We're ball knowers. At some point, we're going to know what Lane Kiffin's going to do. So if we find out, we'll tell you.
Yeah. Don't listen to Lane. Don't go to him.
Does Lane know what Lane's going to do? I thought he was going to tell us yesterday. And they won the game, and then he had to go pray, which I don't believe.
See, that's the thing. I think he's known for weeks.
I don't believe he prayed at all last night. Maybe he did. And then there's back and forth about whether he's like trying to hold him hostage. He wants to coach the rest of the year. He's going to take players with him. It's like, why? LSU's not doing anything right now.
Yeah.
You guys are going to the playoff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm irritated by this story. It doesn't affect the team that I care about directly at all, but I just find Lane Kiffin's handling of this situation so irritating.
Well, we are reportedly, we're going to get some news on this in about half an hour.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So. Like around the top of the 10 o'clock hour, we'll probably know. And when we know, we'll tell you. Anyway, we'll come back. We'll look at some of the other games from around the NFL. I know a bunch have already been played. You had three good ones on Thanksgiving. You had the Black Friday game. We'll get you set for some of the other games that are happening this afternoon as well, right here on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Go Falcons!
Back to Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick and the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And be sure to stay tuned later today for the Ticketmaster Halftime Show, brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. That'll be on the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network broadcast, which takes over at 11 o'clock. Me and Joe are here till then on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Getting you ready for Falcons and Jets just after 1 o'clock this afternoon. Falcons looking to make it two in a row. That'd be nice.
Andy, I got bad news.
We'll take it.
I got bad news for you. Uh-oh. Well, I mean, I guess this is news that is in the eye of the beholder, whether it's good or bad. But
Can I guess at it?
Sure, yeah.
What is it related to? Is it college or pro?
No. It's about the Falcons game.
Oh, okay.
It's weather related.
Oh, okay.
It's not looking pretty up there in East Rutherford. It's looking cold rain, you know, low 40s. Driving rain.
I will be honest with you.
Not driving rain. That's a little much.
But whatever. Cold and wet. Yeah, that doesn't sound good for an older quarterback's arm.
Yeah.
You know, for Kirk's, all the benefits that he, or all the positives that he gets from last week, and he played well and all that. We'll be interested to see how it looks in the weather.
I hope that the camera doesn't fog up. That's the worst part for me as a viewer watching those
go to the camera that doesn't have raindrops on it.
Yeah, exactly.
God.
the picture quality really degrades.
We're in the climate controlled environment.
Yeah, as I'm drinking a coffee with
on
covered
my
in blankets. Yeah.
God, go to the other camera. You guys are out there breaking body parts, playing in awful weather. A 4-7 team against a 2-9 team, putting their bodies on the line.
Yeah.
I'm in my pajama pants on my couch. God, camera quality is so bad.
Tough out here for us sports fans.
Yeah, no, that's not great news. I know we kind of were talking about that throughout the week. It's like a bad weather game. Does that benefit anybody? Probably the worst team. And the Jets are the worst team, and they want to slop it up a little bit.
But it may also favor the better defense, which is the Falcons. So yeah. I don't know.
It makes for... I already kind of thought it was going to be a bit of a grind of a football game.
Yeah. Feels similar.
The over under was already pretty low.
Oh,
it was
39.5.
Now it's 37.5.
That is low.
They're not expecting much offensively from this game.
I mean, just seeing the weather, it reminds me of when they played in New Jersey or in East Rutherford a few years ago, where it was, I think, 13-9.
Every
13-8, I think.
Every time they play there, it's like this.
Yeah.
Because, yes, I remember that game. It was awful.
Safety, yeah.
Then there was I think they played them the year the Falcons went to the Super Bowl, or maybe it was the next year, and they fumbled like 5 snaps. Like Matt Ryan couldn't get the snap, and it was just a horrible football game.
Hmm.
Similar kind of weather. Yeah, so I don't know.
And
thanks a lot, schedule maker. Stop sending the Falcons to New Jersey in November or December.
Yeah, knock on wood for both teams. Like you don't want to see an injury, but from what I've heard, that turf there at MetLife Stadium is like some of the worst turf in the NFL, and players are like
it's field turf, right?
Really don't love it. Yeah. It's field turf. I think there's something about the field turf that is like exposed to an outdoor stadium constantly that maybe combined with the weather conditions, or maybe I don't know, maybe it's just the way that it's laid, but I don't think it gets the greatest marks from players around the league having to play.
Yeah, people get hurt.
Yeah.
There's I mean, it's not every week, but there's a pretty common, you get a tweet from somebody who covers games up there, like, there's another one.
Mm-hmm.
MetLife Stadium turf got another victim. So knocking on wood that doesn't happen today, but yeah. All right. Well, good. Get comfortable, because it's not like it's nice here either.
I know, yeah.
But at least if they were playing here, they'd close the roof and it would be inside.
Right.
But yeah, get comfortable. Get where you're going. Get your drinks and your food and everything you need for kickoff at 1 o'clock. And just enjoy the fact that you're not outside for this one.
Feels like a hottie toddy kind of day to be drinking, or maybe like a Bailey's and coffee or something like that.
Yeah, this game, mean, they're going to need. Weather. It seems like they're going to need a lot of hottie toddies in Oxford.
In Oxford, yeah,
later they today, might. Yeah. Unfortunately, they just finished their best regular season they've had, I think, ever, at least since like the '60s.
Yeah.
And it sounds like probably 15 minutes from now, Lane Kiffin's going to get the team together for a meeting and tell him he's leaving. See you guys later. You guys come along with me. So yeah,
I did my job. Yeah.
Maybe they'll skip. What is a hottie toddy? It's like tea. And
I actually don't even know.
Tea
I just
and
know
bourbon.
It's like a hot. I think it's like a hot alcoholic drink.
I think it's hot tea or something with bourbon in it. Just skip the tea. Just if I'm 11-1 and my team's going to the college ball playoff and my coach is leaving to go to another team in the conference, just give me bourbon.
Yeah, that's
man.
Straight from the bottle.
Yeah,
right
just
there.
Exactly. I'm drinking straight from the bottle on that one. Or I'm trying to figure out like where he lives so I can go burn his house down.
Well, we know I've already Tennessee fans famously peed on their their jerseys or whatever, you know, on
they tried
Lane
to name the
while burning.
They tried the to name the sewage treatment plant in Knoxville after Lane Kiffin.
I didn't know that.
It was going to be the Lane Kiffin whatever treatment plant. And that was pretty funny. That was 1 year. They're not nearly as mad as Ole Miss fans are going to be after this.
Yeah.
I don't know what's worse than naming a sewage treatment plant after somebody. Maybe like a, I don't know, what's one of those vets where you have to get your pets put down or something like that, like dog euthanasia? Name that after Lane Kiffin. I don't know. We're going down a dark path here. Anyway, we'll probably know about that.
How awkward if he goes to LSU for his daughter's boyfriend, who's the linebacker down there at LSU.
Yeah.
Is that's got to be uncomfortable to some extent.
Probably. Yeah. Conflict of interest slightly. You know, he is a good player.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Anyway. All right. Okay, let's
now
take a look around
we?
The
round.
Where are we talking about Lane Kiffin? Get sidetracked. Let's take a look around the rest of the NFL brought to you by Hatfield. Better pork, head to simplyhatfield.com. Handful of games already played. Obviously, on Thanksgiving week, you're going to have a triple header on Thursday. Packers beat the Lions. Lions just can't seem to get right this season.
Yeah.
They're 7-5. Packers 8-3-1.
Maybe losing Ben Johnson like has kind of derailed them a little bit. Dan Campbell's obviously taken over play calling there offensively, but doesn't seem like the same high-level offense. They lose Amon-Ra St. Brown in that game as well.
I know.
Which hurt
terrible news for them. And it just kind of feels like you look around the league. We'll get to this in a minute. I just like a very basic but I think fun question to get to after we get you updated on some of these scores. They seem very similar to a lot of teams in the league this year. In a league where, you know, last year you had a couple teams that kind of felt dominant record-wise and all that. Didn't prove to be once the playoffs came around, but you had a couple, seemed like more high-end performers last year. Chiefs being one of them, they lose on Thanksgiving as well. They're 6-6, man. They're 1-5 on the road. They lose all of the one-score games this year, whereas last year they won all of the one-score games. Cowboys are playing some pretty good football
right now,
too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Give it up to the Cowboys, man. Like, they were what 3-5-1 or something like that, and now they've won a couple three games in a row. Now
they made all those trades at the deadline.
Yep, where they were getting a bunch of grief for kind of going for it, but I give them credit. And I gotta say, hats off to Dak Prescott. I think that he's playing like
great.
Top six, top five quarterback right now.
Yeah.
Like, I was actually looking through some of the names, and even he's playing better than Lamar Jackson right now. Like, Not many players I would want leading my team right now more than Dak.
Lamar's got to be hurt.
Like, I know.
It just
Ravens
looks. I know he missed a bunch of games, but they just don't look right at all. They lose to the Bengals 32-14.
Brutal.
On Thanksgiving night.
And the Bengals could have scored more points. Like, they were selling for field goals early in that game, and it could have been way worse.
Joe Burrow came back in that game, threw for 261 and two touchdowns, and they handled their business against the Ravens. And then mentioned earlier, the Bears get another nice win, 9-3. They beat the Eagles 24-15 on Black Friday. The Eagles reeling. They blow that 21-point lead against the Cowboys the week before and then follow it up with a loss at home to the Bears. I know Philly fans are just ready to pounce at all times, but they might be right because things seem to be going sideways a little bit in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and it's easy to kind of shake your head at them being so mad with still what's the record? What's their Eagles record now? 8-4.
Champagne problems.
Right. Exactly. But
same time.
But what you just said, these are some concerning signs, especially blowing that lead to the Cowboys. So they certainly don't look like one of the top teams in the NFC at this point.
All right. So that's a good segue to this. Who is? Because it just feels like a very odd year where the best teams have kind of stumbled a little bit. They've had injuries. the teams you're very used to being up at the top of the standings, especially in the AFC. Like, I don't think anybody had going into December the Patriots leading the AFC East, the Steelers leading the AFC North, the Colts leading the AFC South, yeah, and the Broncos leading the AFC West. Like, those are all surprising. I mean, maybe the Patriots being 10-2 is the most surprising, but like, who's actually good? Who do you think is actually good at this point of the NFL season? I think there's a lot of teams that are pretty good, but like, I'm talking about like, okay, I believe in this team. I think they're genuinely a good football team.
Yeah, we were talking earlier about the NFC, and I would say in the NFC, it's the Rams. The Rams are the class of the NFC, and it's amazing. It's because of Sean McVay is the head coach there, and Matt Stafford is the quarterback there. And as long as you have those guys, like, you're going to have at least a shot, and they've got actually, you know, really good complimentary pieces around those guys to get the most out of them. And, you know, when we're talking, like I was saying, Dak Prescott's playing like the top 5 or 6 quarterback in the NFL. I mean, how about Matthew Stafford, man? Like, he is a Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. I don't know if you've seen any of these videos of him doing these no-look throws.
Yeah.
But it's not just for show. That's like the thing is he's actually creating throwing windows by doing these like no-look stuff.
Totally.
Absolutely incredible. I mean, I know Mahomes was getting a lot of credit for this, you know, back in the day. But I always felt like those were more on kind of like short passes that allowed him to kind of get it 5 yards out to Travis Kelce. These are the ones that Matthew Stafford's doing is like 15-yard dig routes down the middle of the field that he's no-looking.
Ripping them over the middle while looking to the sideline. I know, it's insane. He's 25 touchdowns, 0 interceptions in the last 7 weeks.
Yeah.
And you're right. He is a Hall of Fame quarterback. I think he already was one.
Yeah.
But if there was any debate about that, because people always like to debate and say guys aren't great when they are. He played in Detroit for a decade and still managed to put up numbers and be relevant. He's like, all right, just look at what I'm capable of when I get surrounded by genuine talent and good coaching.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I do think that they're the best team in the NFC. And the Seahawks gave them a pretty good game a couple of weeks ago, even with Darnold throwing 4 interceptions. They had a kick for the win from like 60 at the end, and they missed it.
Right.
So I think they're a pretty tough team.
Yeah.
And they're coming in and they're coming in next weekend to take on the Falcons. I get a chance to see them up close.
I wonder if it's one of the reasons why the Falcons are once again kind of holding Drake London out of this game to try to give him as much rest as possible heading into that game. Because obviously the Falcons season is riding on every single game that they play. So they've got to be in the best condition possible to face some of these top teams.
Yeah.
Which they play the Rams as well on Monday night.
I know. Right now. I mean, there's some this little stretch here in the middle where you had an opportunity to, quote, get right. You didn't because you lost the first one to Carolina. But the hope was if you could somehow steady the ship and win these again, quote, winnable games before December got here and try to get back to 6-6. I mean, you stepped on a rake against Carolina in a game where you had a 2-touchdown lead. You needed to win that game, and you didn't. Got the win last week against New Orleans, and then hopefully you can get the win today against the Jets as well. I mean, the thing about it is Tampa's scuffling. They're 6-5. They've lost 3 in a row. Carolina, I know they beat the Falcons twice, but we know they're fine. They're not special. Like, the NFC is just sort of gettable this year, which makes it even more frustrating that the Falcons went on that 5-game losing streak.
It's infuriating to open up and look at the standings in the NFC South where the Falcons are, because if they had beaten the Panthers, in which they had a 2-touchdown lead at one point and blow that game and then lose it in overtime, and let's say the Dolphins game, any of the number of these games, well, any number, but like any of these games they're favored in, of which they have yet to win, in which they're favored, they'd be right at the top of the division.
Yep.
Like they would have everything in front of them right now.
Take one of those Panthers games, whether it's the Dolphins or one of those coin flip games at the end, you just don't mess it up.
Yeah.
You'd be 6-5 as well, and you'd be right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
It is. It's brutal. I mean, it's kind of. Yeah.
But that's why the NFL is great, though, is because all these games matter. You know, you cannot sleepwalk through any team, and you know, it comes back to bite you if you do.
Noel, who was the guy, the NFL guy that Sam and Greg had on earlier this morning in the 8 o'clock hour? Russell Baxter. He said a great thing. He said, it feels like one of those years where it's pretty like, all right, this team's good, this team's whatever, and then December comes around, somebody gets healthy and gets hot, and they go on one of those runs like Tampa went on about 5 years ago.
Yep.
Like if I had to pick a Super Bowl winner right now, come on. Maybe it's the Rams. Maybe that's who I'd pick. I don't know.
But they have their vulnerabilities too.
Sure.
You know, like all these teams are susceptible.
And as much as I love what Matthew Stafford is doing this year, like it feels so razor thin with his health.
Yeah, exactly.
He had to get an epidural in his back just to practice in August.
Right.
What he's doing is incredible, but man, I just, again, like that's such a dicey proposition, especially as the weather gets colder. All right, hour number two straight ahead. We'll get back deeper into the Falcons and the Jets matchup. Joe has us an injury update ahead of this one as well. Wade Ford Tailgate Show here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.